subject of the besetting sin. It seems like everyone, including the Apostle Paul, had something that always tripped him up. And the Apostle Paul prayed that his thorn in the flesh could be removed. And God said, "My grace is sufficient for you." And I believe that we still today deal with stuff from our old sinful nature that we need to know how to get rid of. And that's what we want to look at this morning. Stand with me, if you will, in honor of God's word. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God." Let's pray. Father, we ask this morning that you would open our understanding. Remove anything from my heart that would hinder the working of the Holy Spirit through me. And Lord, I pray that everyone that's here this morning might have a special outpouring of your Spirit, that we may know your truth. And by knowing your truth, we might be set free. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Notice he says here in this first verse that we need a special focus if we're going to get rid of the sin. He says here, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us." Now, the race that is set before us is the race of serving God, trying to do what God has called us to do. Now, the devil is going to try to distract you any way he can. He's going to try to put something in your way to keep you from running that race successfully. And he says that we need to be patiently running that race. That means we get rid of everything. If we were going to have a foot race this morning, we wouldn't all grab up a couple of cinder blocks to carry with us as we ran. And he says, lay the weight aside so that you can run. Well, he uses that as an example, but how does that apply in our lives? Well, the weight that we have to get rid of is the cares of this life. Paul writes in another place, "No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life." The affairs of this life will pull us down so that we can't run the race. And notice there's a connection here. If you want to lay aside the sin, first you got to lay aside the weight. It's the weight that is the problem. You see, the Lord says a double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. We can't have part of our mind on this world and the other part on heaven. And so we need to get rid of some of the stuff that is holding us down as we focus on the race that is set before us. Focus on living godly in Christ Jesus. You know, sometimes that's a struggle. But we have to go back and figure out what causes it to be a struggle. You see, the Christian life is all or nothing. We have to be Christian no matter what we're doing. If you're working, you work as unto the Lord. If you are preaching, you preach as unto the Lord. If you're cooking the meals at home, you do it as unto the Lord. Everything has to be done as unto the Lord. It has to be focused on God. If we fail to do that, then we get in the flesh. If you get in the flesh, we're sinners. We're going to sin. And so it is important that we learn how to focus. Now, first off, we have to focus every thought. Now, I know that sounds like a big thing, but it's not. You have to Make every thought, and ask the Lord to remind you. If your thoughts begin to stray onto the wrong things, ask the Lord to remind you, and He will. So that you don't always burn up your emotional energy thinking about things you don't need to be thinking about. You see, the emotional energy, our mind, will, and emotions, are what I call the soul of man. The spirit's the part that is born again. But the mind, will, and emotions, that part has to have emotional energy in order to operate. When you run out of gas, so to speak, emotionally, then you're going to make some wrong choices because you don't have the emotional energy to stand up under the strain. And so that's the reason that God wants us to bring every thought into captivity. Listen to 2 Corinthians 10, 4 through 5. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal or fleshly, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Now, notice he says that we have weapons that we can use to do this. It's not our fleshly effort that's going to accomplish this, but it's the grace of God that can accomplish this. And so look what he says here. Our weapons are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Now look at the next part. Casting down imaginations. Imaginations are something that most people think are fine, but it is imaginations that makes a God out of us. We become our own God in our imaginations. Think about what he's saying here. When we imagine our world, we're in charge. Whatever we want to happen, that's what's going to happen. A whole lot of people, when they have stress in their life, have imagination that brings them into a better world, an imaginary world where they are God. And everything works just the way I want it to work in my imaginary world. You say, well, what's wrong with that? That's peaceful. Let me tell you what's wrong with that. You're not looking to God. You're looking to self for a solution. And he says we have to bring and cast down that imagination. We have to live in the real world. That solves a lot of problems. If you learn to live in the real world, then you deal with the real world rather than just avoiding the real world by living in an imaginary world. And then he says that we are to bring every thought into the obedience of Christ. So let me challenge you. Ask God to put a safeguard on your mind so that every time your mind begins to wander off to something that is not wholesome, is not pure, is not godly, it is not the right thing, to remind you so that you can cast down all of that and bring every thought into the obedience of Christ. You can't bring some of your thoughts into the obedience of Christ without bringing all of your thoughts into the obedience of Christ. You see, at any given time, we are either walking in the Spirit or we're walking in the flesh. And if we're walking in the flesh, then everything that we do and say is going to be evil. But if we're in the Spirit, everything we do and say is going to be right. And so we begin by laying aside the weight and bring every thought into the obedience of Christ. Then we have to focus on God in every trial. Now, this is the biggie. Whenever we focus on Christ in a trial, then we accept the trial. We accept the outcome as His will. If you don't accept the outcome, then you're going to struggle when God's outcome is different than your imaginary outcome or what you think it ought to be. Listen to what James says in James 1, 1 through 4. James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. God's purpose in the things he allows in our lives is to perfect us. It is to bring us into the abundant life that he has for us. And so James says, in knowing all this, he says, count it all joy. God is at work in your life. Yes, there's trials. Yes, there's difficulties. But those trials and those difficulties are bringing you into the life that God wants you to be in. And I'm going to tell you, God's desire for you is that you have the abundant life here and in a wonderful life throughout all eternity in heaven. You can trust God. And you can trust God to know what he's doing and to know how to do it. And we would choose the wrong things. And so when God takes us through a trial and a difficulty, then we need to thank him, knowing that he is going to work his will in our lives. What's he tell us to pray in the model prayer? Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. If we have God's will on earth, that's a wonderful thing. We may not see the whole world turn to God because it's a choice, but we can make those choices ourselves, that we can live in the will of God. And in every treasure, sometimes people get caught up in trying to get more and more and more and more and more. And it's a very deadly, deadly thing. Listen to what the Bible says, 1 Timothy 6, 7 through 8. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. They that will be rich, the Bible says, pierce themselves through with many sorrows and a snare. You've seen it in your own life. If you get too caught up in money, too caught up in stuff, it will, instead of making you happy, it will pull you down. It will make you discouraged and depressed. But if you can keep your focus on God and not try to get all you can out of the world, then you'll find peace. And that's what everybody wants. We brought nothing into this world. That's true. And it's certain we can take nothing out. That's true. So all we have is just a short period of time, maybe 100 years. And that's nothing compared to eternity. And we gather up all of our stuff, we'll end up like Solomon. He said, I have heaped together all this money, and when I die, it's going to be left to a fool. We leave it behind. We don't take it with us. I heard a story about a man who wanted to see if he could take it with him when he went. And he told his wife, he said, I want you to get all my money and put it in a bucket and put it up in the attic. He said, I know that I'm not supposed to be able to take it with me when I go, but I'm going to make a grab for it as I go out of here. So she did that. She put his bucket up in the attic and went on there for a while before he died. And finally he died. And she went to the funeral and she forgot all about the bucket. And then she came home and she said, I wonder if he was able to grab that bucket as he went by. So she goes up into the attic and the bucket's still there. She said, I might should have put that in the basement. Sometimes we focus on the wrong thing. And God says that we're not to do that. That's not what's important. How much you have is not important. It's who you know. If you know Jesus Christ, you're rich. If you have eternal life, you're rich. No matter what else you have or don't have, you are rich if you have Jesus Christ as your Savior. And you have eternal life. What would one person in hell give to have what you have right now? There's been people burning in hell for about 6,000 years. They're just getting started good. Just getting started. I promise you, you bring one of them back up out of here, they wouldn't wait for an invitation. They'd be down here trying to figure out how to get saved. But still, there are people in the world, walking around, breathing, going on about their business. They're going to die and go to hell because they're too caught up in the things of this world to bow the knee to Jesus Christ. One of these days they will bow the knee, but it'll be too late. The frustration that comes when we try to serve God and when we try to lay this weight down so that we can serve God, the frustration that comes is because the devil just keeps taking us back through these trials over and over and over. So we need to know how to deal with this frustration. Listen to what he says in verse 1 again. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. The Bible says we have this treasure of salvation in an earthen vessel. When we come to the Lord, we come to the Lord with nothing that we can bring. We have no good whatsoever to offer to God for our salvation. We cannot work our way to heaven. People who try to work their way to heaven work their way to hell. They are the ones who are completely rejected by the Lord because they have gone about it the wrong way. Jesus said, the way into heaven is narrow, and few there be that find it. That way is Jesus Christ. It's just him and him alone. What did he say? I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. But if you don't come through Jesus Christ, there is no salvation. You say, well, I got to live right to get to heaven. That's not the way you get to heaven. Thank God, because you wouldn't make it, and I wouldn't either. Jesus is our salvation. Once we receive Christ as our Savior, the only part of us that's saved, now listen to me, the only part of us that is born again is our spirit. Remember what Jesus told Nicodemus? That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the spirit is spirit. So that part of us that was dead in trespasses and sins, that part of us is what's born again. That part of us is rendered incapable of sin. 1 John 3:9, whosoever is born of God does not commit sin, for his seed remains in him, and he cannot sin because he's born of God. Key word there is cannot. And so here we have this salvation, this wonderful eternal life where we are pure, we've been declared righteous, we've been made righteous, and we will one day dwell in heaven in total righteousness, but we have this treasure in an earthen vessel. And that earthen vessel still has the same old sinful nature that it had before we were born again. Listen to what the Bible says here. 2 Corinthians 4:3-7. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. You see, God has left us with this sinful nature, this sinful flesh, so that we can't take credit for our salvation. Whenever we get to heaven, no matter how well we've done down here, we're going to go into heaven saying, thank you, Lord. Because we know in our heart that if we get what we deserve, we would all go to hell. And it's only because of Jesus Christ that we have eternal life. It's only because of what he has done in us that sets us apart. Because, see, we're still too sinful to go to heaven. We're still too much of a sinner to be saved. We don't have the power to get rid of all that. And, you know, it's not just me or you, it's everybody. Everybody. You know what Paul wrote to Timothy just before they cut his head off? And we think of Paul as a wonderful apostle, and he was. God used him tremendously. But he said it was by the grace of God that he does what he does. But you know what he wrote to Timothy? He said, "This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief." He didn't say was. Did you notice that? I know why he didn't say was, because he still was. We do not lose that. But we have this earthen vessel. And so as we try to live holy, there's always that sinful nature to try to rear its ugly head and to lead us into sin. Now, that can't take away our salvation. So you say, "Brother, I don't know why then. Why do we worry about it?" I tell you, God puts a desire in the heart to live holy once we're saved. We want to be holy. See, that's the one earmark. I can't look at you and tell if you've got it. You can't look at me and tell if I've got it. But I tell you what, you can look at yourself. If you don't have a desire to be holy, you're not saved. Because that comes along with it. Every man that has this hope within him purifies himself even as he is pure. We want to be pure. Paul said, I have a desire to do good, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. That's the wrestling between that desire and the sinful flesh that we are left with. And so how do we deal with that? We have to stay in the Spirit. We have to walk in the Spirit. He tells us, if we walk in the Spirit, we will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. You see, every Christian has two lives available to them. One is the perfect law of righteousness. Everything up here that is perfect, sinless, and all that. That's available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Sinless perfection. But there's another life also available to us, and that's the life of the flesh. The life of the flesh is a whole lot less. It is wicked. It is sinful. It is lustful. And it appeals to our sinful nature. You have to choose moment by moment in your life whether you're going to be in the Spirit or whether you're going to be in the flesh. If you're going to get rid of this weight, then you're going to have to realize, number one, that you cannot operate in the flesh successfully. See, that's the reason God tells us we have this treasure in an earthen vessel. You cannot live there and be successful as a Christian. And so the weight that we lay aside keeps us from being in that sinful nature all the time. And that weight is anything that pulls you away from God. Whatever it is. Whatever. And most of the time, we think of the wrong thing whenever we hear that. So it's because I'm a drunkard, right? It's because of this, or it's because of that. No, that's the result of the weight. See? And a whole lot of people confess the wrong thing. Yes, if you go out and get drunk, you need to confess that, but you need to figure out why you did that. And you need to go back and see where you left walking in the Spirit. And the Bible gives us a clue. Pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. So we have to understand that whenever we fall, we've got to go back and figure out where we got proud. And when we figure out where we got proud, that's what we confess to get back in the Spirit. If all you ever confess is the results, if all you ever confess is I got drunk or I did this or whatever, then you get forgiven, but you're still in the flesh and you're going to do it again. But if you go back and you figure out where you left walking in the Spirit through pride, and you confess that, the Bible says, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God that he may exalt you in due time. So whenever we realize that and we go back and we confess our sins of pride, then God restores us. We have to get over the frustration of earthly cares. Boy, it's a biggie. You know, the devil has designed our culture, now listen to me, to put pressure on families. Have you noticed that? Is something bigger, something better, all that. When I was a kid, our house, you could almost fall in the front door and out the back door at the same time. Now houses are huge. A friend of mine who was a builder came and got me one day. He said, "I want to show you a house." And he was building this house for this guy. And I could have slid my house in the foyer. It was huge. It had a helicopter pad on the roof. It's built out of granite. Everything in the house was round. And he was trying to figure out how to get this 3-foot round culvert in there for an elevator. And, you know, the house was millions of dollars. And he said this was a second home from some fella who had his main home somewhere else. And he wanted to fly in here every so often and land his helicopter on the roof. Well, you know, when you have somebody in the neighborhood like that, I was putting windows in a guy's house who was an oral surgeon. And he said, "My house cost $600,000. I'm the poorest person in this subdivision." I said, "My heart bleeds, you know. I feel real sorry for you." But that's the pressures. You know, if you get caught up in that, you got to have a bigger this, a bigger that, a better, more money in the bank. All those things are the cares of this world. And if we're going to lay that down, we have to have a focus somewhere else. Our focus has to be on eternity. You know, the Lord gives us little clues all through Scripture. Love not the world, neither the things in the world. If any man loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. And the world passes away. See, there's your clue right there. But he that doeth the will of the Father abides forever. You see, we are not of this world. We can't get caught up in the things of this world. We have to be set free from that. We have to lay that weight down and then run that race the way God intended for us to do. Mark 4, 18 and 19 says this, "And these are they which are sown among thorns, which such as hear the word, and the cares of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches, and the lust of other things enter in and choke the word, and it becometh unfruitful." And you see what he's saying here. The cares of this world can so choke out the spirit that is within you, so you live your life in a wasted state. When you get to heaven, you're going to be a pauper. You're not going to have anything. You're going to get into heaven so as by fire, with no reward whatsoever. Now, I'll grant you that's better than going to hell. But you see, it's better to have a full reward in heaven. And we do that by serving God every day here and living the way God has called us. And then we're going to have to, if we're going to deal with the frustration, we're going to have to deal with emotional strain, emotional stress. People are dying because of stress these days. The Bible says in the last days, men's heart shall fail them for fear. Stress, which is connected many times to trying to get stuff and failing to get stuff or afraid you're going to lose the stuff you have. Whatever the stress is coming from, we have to get rid of that. Well, how do you get rid of it? Well, listen to 1 Peter 5, 7. "Casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you." Casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. We have a right. Now listen to me. We have a right to bring every care that we have, no matter what it is, and casting it on him. And he has promised to deliver us. He said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. God has made that promise. We do not have to live with emotional stress all the time. We can get rid of it. We can lay it down. You say, well, I have all this required. It has to be done. If I can't get it done, then there's stress. Well, that's God's problem. You see, God has to make a way. When we depend on him and we put our trust in him, he will make a way one way or the other. Besides all that, you can't do it anyway. We can't fix this problem. You know, you say, well, when I get everything done, then I'm going to be happy, then I'll be satisfied. Remember the Bible says about the man who had this abundant crop come in? Instead of saying, oh, goody, now I've got all this, I can share it with people. He said, what am I going to do? Wringing his hands. What am I going to do? I have all this crop and my barns are not big enough. He said, I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to tear down my barns. I'm going to build bigger barns. And when I get all that stuff in the barn, then I'll say, soul, take thine ease. And the Lord said, you fool. Tonight your soul will be required of you. And who shall all these things be then? Who gets all the stuff you've put in the barn? You see, we can laugh at him, but if we're stressing over the same thing, it may be different in our eyes, but with God it's the same. God says, you just bring that care to me. Lay it at my feet. Go on about your business. He'll work it out. Can God solve problems? Yes, he can. If God makes you a promise and God gives you the invitation to cast your cares upon him, he will deal with your cares. One way or the other. And we have to lay that down or it will drown us. And we will not be able to walk in the Spirit while we carry the cares of this world. You say, well, if I lay it down, I'm going to crash and burn. Well, let me tell you this. Even if that's true, I'd rather crash and burn in the Spirit than to be successful in the flesh. Because you're going to come out better in the long run. God is greater than every problem you will ever face. I don't care what it is. Jesus said, don't fear man who can only destroy your body. You say, well, that seems like somebody I ought to fear. They can destroy my body. Jesus said, fear God who can destroy both body and soul in hell. You see, we need to understand it's not okay to live stressed out. It's not. You're hurting yourself and you're going to cause yourself to lose reward in heaven, and you're going to hurt all through your life unless you learn how to lay that down. But then look at the second verse here. He talks about faith. This is where it's at. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. He puts that up as an example. He says that we are to look to Jesus, how he dealt with stuff. Jesus was under so much of a stress and strain that he sweat drops of blood in the Garden of Eden. He told his disciples, my soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. He told them in another place, The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. That was some stress. But you know what he said? Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. But if not, thy will be done. And we know that the answer was, you got to face it. And he went to the cross. Now, we have to have faith like that. Because the devil's going to say to you, yeah, you cast your care on Jesus and you're going to crash and burn. Things are going to happen that you're not going to like when you put your cares on Jesus. But Jesus could have said the same thing and we'd still be lost. Bad things happen when Jesus threw his lot on God. Bad things happened. They ripped his hide with a cat of nine tails. They beat him to the point that any man who had the sentence of death in him would have died. But Jesus said, nobody can take my life from me. I have the power to lay it down. I have the power to take it up again. He was able to go there on the cross and take all the sins of all mankind of all ages upon himself. And there God poured out his wrath on Jesus on our behalf. So much so that he said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And he endured all of that. Because his focus was to do the will of God. He said, I came to do the will of my Father who sent me. That's the attitude of our faith that gets rid of stress. I'm here to do the will of God. And whatever that does to me, whatever the consequences of that are, whatever happens, thy will be done. And then, whatever happens, it's God's will. And the Bible says that we are to thank God whatever happens, because this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. And we can trust him, because he knows what he's doing. In order to trust God with everything in life, we have to have security in Christ. Romans chapter 8, verses 1 through 4 is where I find my security. There is therefore now no condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, and that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Nothing can condemn me. Nothing can condemn you if your faith is in Jesus Christ. So that settles that once and for all. I don't ever have to worry what happens when I sin, because my soul is sealed. If you're a Christian, your soul is sealed. Now, that being said, that gives me a freedom, because one thing about it, when I leave this world, I've got a home in heaven. You see, the worst thing that this world could do is kill you. And after that, if you're a Christian, you just get promoted to heaven. That's not a bad thing. I mean, I'm not going around looking for somebody to kill me. But if they do, I'm good with that. But you see, Jesus has taken the responsibility for keeping us alive. Do you know that? There's a day appointed for us to leave this world. Now, we can speed it up. But under normal conditions, if we don't speed it up, God is going to protect us until his appointed time. That gives me a lot of comfort. Whatever happens, God's in charge. And if it's my time to go, I'm good with that. If it's not, I'm not going. God is going to protect me. He has rescued me so many times that when I finally die, I'm going to die expecting to be rescued because he's rescued me so many times. And when he does it and I stand there looking my Savior in the face, I'm going to shout hallelujah. This is the one. And that's all right. You see, if you got security in Christ, you got a home in heaven. And that's a pretty good deal. We have to have not only security in Christ, we have to have satisfaction in Christ. Is he enough? Now, that's a big question. Is he enough in this day and time? You know, I've thought back over my life, and we are extremely rich now compared to what we were when I was a kid. We were so poor we couldn't pay attention. And there is, you know, we were happy then, we're happy now. It doesn't matter. It's not, a man's life does not consist in the abundance of the things which he possesses. It's not about that. Are you satisfied with Jesus? With what he has done in your life? What he has provided for you and your family? Are you satisfied with Jesus? Listen to what the Bible says here in Philippians 4:19. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Do you believe that? Will God supply your need? If he will, what's to worry about? You say, well, he may not see all the things that I want as needs. Well, let me tell you something about that. If you want stuff that God doesn't want you to have, you're wanting the wrong stuff. Because what God wants you to have is going to be the very best for you. It may not be the biggest. It may not be the richest. But it will be the most joyful, abundant life that you can have. All we do when we want more is mess up the abundance of joy that God has for us. Jesus said, I am come that you might have life and that you might have it abundantly. He didn't mean he wants all of us to be rich, although we are. He meant he wants us to be rich in joy, rich in security and satisfaction, content with whatever we have. Because God is going to take care of us. And it requires submission to Christ. Now listen to this. 1 John chapter 1, verses 6 through 9. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. Now you may be a Christian and walk in darkness, but you're not in fellowship with Jesus. Fellowshipping with Jesus requires walking in the light. And we're going to get to that in a minute. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now understand what he's saying here. You don't have to be sinless to walk in the light. Walking in the light means that you agree with Jesus about sin. That's what it means. And the reason God wants you to agree with him about sin is that when you sin, you confess it as sin. If you justify your sin, you're not agreeing with Jesus about your sin. You know, this, everybody does it. It's not really a bad thing. There's a lot of people worse than I am. And there's more good in my life than there is bad. All of that is walking in darkness. When we walk in the light, everything that Jesus says, we agree with. And if we walk in the light, we have fellowship with him. That's where the joy and the peace comes from. But notice that the blood of Jesus Christ continually cleanses us from all unrighteousness, because we're going to sin. And when we sin, we're going to run to Jesus. We're going to say, Lord, I sinned. What I did was a horrible thing. Please forgive me. It's gone. We're right back in fellowship again. Walking in the light is the key to victory. It is the key to laying down all of the sins of life, laying down the weight of life, the cares of life, as we take God's view on everything. Whatever God says, we go along with. And when we do that, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin. If you're here this morning and you've never received Christ as Savior, let me tell you something. Jesus wants to save you. You don't have to beg for salvation because Jesus wants you to be saved. He died on the cross so you could be saved. If you put your trust in Him, He promises to save you. And you know the instructions that He gave to me and every preacher? Whosoever will, let him drink the water of life freely. No strings attached. You receive Christ as your Savior. That dead spirit is made alive. And then it's sealed until the day of redemption. It's rendered incapable of sin. And remember, you still have this treasure in an earthen vessel. So you have to wrestle with that every day. But I want you to know, if you're here and you're lost, you're standing on a crossroad. The Bible says that if we hear the Lord, we're to harden not our heart. If you reject Jesus this morning, you will go away with your heart hardened. But I know for a fact that there is enough faith in your heart right now to be saved. Because through the hearing of the gospel message that Jesus Christ died for your sins, faith is created. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And if you will use that faith, you can be saved. Maybe you're here and the Lord just has laid on your heart to rededicate your life. Whatever God wants you to do, or if you want to unite with our church, let the Lord have His way. Let's stand and go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank You for Your word. We thank You for giving us hope in a time when hope is hard to find. And Lord, I pray that we might always cast our cares upon You because You care for us. And thank You, Lord, for the way You care for us. Lord, I pray for the soul as near as tail this morning that You would save them by Your grace. And Lord, I pray if there's one here that's strayed away from You, that they would come back to the light and would begin to walk in the light. Guide us in all that is said and done. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.